It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. This hour of the show brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Check them out online at cnbtn.com. Number 1, the NBA Board of Governors meeting today to assess options for how to restart the season. The league's general managers have expressed their preference to go straight to the playoffs. In a survey of all 30 general managers, which was viewed by ESPN, 16 said they would prefer the league come back with just the typical 16 playoff teams, with the team seedings based on the standings when the season was suspended on March 12th. Trey, what do you think? Just go straight to the playoffs or resume the regular season and have a one of the things they discussed, having some sort of a play-in tournament? There's a couple of different options, I guess,
they could do.
All right.
Did we lose Trey?
I'm back. Yeah, we're good.
What do you think, Trey? NBA playoffs, just go straight in?
Yeah, I would prefer them go the NHL route and go straight into the playoffs. I mean, I don't see any reason for regular season anymore. Just do what the NHL is doing. If you have to expand it a little bit, expand it. But, yeah, go straight to the playoffs.
I mean, they're behind already. Like, the playoffs would have started by now already, right?
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
We'd be getting ready for the NBA Finals.
Yeah, we'd be in, but this is like semis. We'd be in the semis right now.
Yeah, just go ahead.
It seems like the finals fall right around the time Bonnaroo goes down. What's that, like first, second week in June?
I mean, I'm sure that would piss me off if I were a fan of a team that was, like, you know, one game out. But it gets back to the conversation we had about the ticket issue with the donors.
Oh,
it's like, I'm sorry. Like, we've had a worldwide pandemic. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I would love to see you just on national TV.
Oh, I will say that to a fan. I'll say that to a fan without hesitation. You have no money.
Oh, no, he would. I think it'd be hilarious.
Well, I'm sorry I don't even know who. I'm sorry the Denver Nuggets do not get to be in the playoffs this year. And that would be it. I wouldn't even offer.
You'd be about as popular as that boxer you guys told me about yesterday, Zolanoff.
Except
if you just came out and gave everybody just the, you know, any bad news came from Russell.
Except I have truth, justice,
sorry,
and the facts on my side. Number 2, the NCAA releasing a long and detailed plan today to help schools bring athletes back to campus during a pandemic. The resocialization of collegiate sports action plan considerations was announced as schools across the country prepare to return college football players as early as June the 8th. And they've got ideas. They've got ideas for testing, tracing, and treatment. I won't bore you with the details, but I would like to thank the NCAA for jumping in this game, which, I mean, Mark Emmert and crew, I mean, they've really done a bang-up job. The leadership, they've really been front and center this entire time with, you know, advice and here's what's going to happen and showing real strong leadership. You know, who could forget when they hammered Southwest Dakota State a couple of weeks ago with massive NCAA sanctions? The NCAA is really working for its member institutions right now. Don't trip on my sarcasm. Number 3.
Okay.
L.A. Dodgers lefty David Price reportedly pledging to pay for all of the Dodgers minor league players not currently on the Dodgers 40-man roster, $1,000 in the month of June. $1,000 for all the minor leaguers who are not on their 40-man roster for the month of June. They say that's between 30 and 50 players. That, I'm sure he's making a pretty penny But that's a stand-up guy right there. Did we lose Bear and Tragen?
No.
They just don't care. They're like, oh, that's nice. David Price is a nice guy.
Every time we start to say something, you go number three, number four. I mean, you're on a roll, man.
I gave you like a 10. I shut my mouth for 10 seconds. I'm drowning here. Throw me a ball.
I mean, you were completely wrong about the NBA thing. You know why they wanted to have the regular season games? They're like a few games short of getting local TV money. It's a financial thing. But Red Meat Russ is out here today wanting to, you know, crush everyone's hopes and dreams.
Sorry. Number four, wrapping up here, Cincinnati Bengals rookie quarterback Joe Burrow says the black community needs our help in the wake of George Floyd's death while in police custody Monday night in Minneapolis. The number one overall draft pick taking to Twitter, where all society's problems are solved, and tweeting the following: they have been unheard for far too long. Open your ears, listen, and speak. This isn't politics. This is human rights. I guess they just arrested the guy. What's his Chauvin?
Yeah, he was arrested and charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter.
Presumably, okay. They arrested him without somebody sticking his knee into his windpipe for 4 minutes.
9 minutes. Cutting off all blood flow to his brain, killing him. I think it was probably avoided. So,
well, that's good. Progress, yeah. You know? Small steps. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to joke about it. Don't want to be insensitive. Top four at four. Citizens National Bank, it is Financial Freedom Friday. I got a blog post about investing. If you're out there wondering, you know, is now the time to jump into the stock market. It's been volatile, but prices perhaps could be lower in certain areas of the market. Five tips that are safe and reliable for investing right now. CNBTN.com. Go check out the blog post. Our phone number, you want to jump in, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to be a part of the festivities here this afternoon on the show. Greg on Twitter says, you and Bear said you would vote Butch Jones for president yesterday, so your credibility, spelled Y-U-R, has vanished.
No, it hasn't.
First of all, Greg, if that's your real name, first of all, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know, like, what we're arguing about. Second of all, we never had any credibility to begin with. So how can something vanish that never existed in the first part? And third of all, you're damn right I want to see President Butch Jones. I think it would be hilarious. I think it would be hysterical.
We've talked about it. We're gonna talk about this more as the summer goes on.
President Butch.
Could you imagine him telling Kim Jong-un he was going on his lisp in his back pocket?
All I know is the State of the Union would be absolutely hysterical. And by hysterical, I mean unbearable. What? I've just drafted an executive order declaring America champions of life. You're a champion,
like a
Trey.
Five-star hearts in our army.
You're a champion. Hang the damn banner, President Jones.
We get to war with somebody, they'd show up to surrender, and he'd somehow snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, hell, Butch Jones, we'd lose a war to damn France or something.
we lose a war to like Costa Rica. They just take over.
T. Bowman says that's Vander Bear's boy, David Price. Oh,
who the hell's David Price?
Don't act like you know who David Price is.
No, I mean, I swear to God, it's not an act. Who's David Price? The only Prices I knew were Vincent Price and the guy I went to Bearden with, Mike Price. That's about it.
Former UT basketball point guard Jay Price. Peerless Price.
He's an excellent Price.
The Price is Right.
Wonder if we got a good price on Peerless.
The prices at old Ben Franklin Motors that are down right now.
Prices are great.
Think they still got that Mustang? Trey, how sweet was the Mustang?
It was pretty awesome, man.
Was it a fastback?
You riding around in it.
Was it a fastback or the classic?
I don't know.
I got to go out there and look at it, man.
I don't know what that means. Fastback?
A fastback Mustang means it doesn't have a trunk. Like a Bullet, like Steve McQueen's Mustang, the Bullet Mustang, Eleanor, in the movie. You don't know what a fastback is?
No. Bill says, do we have any sports today? I don't know. Or this weekend? I don't know. Do we have any sports this weekend, Trey?
I know we've got a race.
We've got UFC tomorrow night, and we've got Bristol Sunday. UFC and Bristol.
Bristol, a little Rubens racing. I can dig it.
Is that a night race?
Tyrone Woodley. No, it's a 3:30 race, unfortunately. But if Richard Petty Motorsports has anything to do with it, Bubba would be in the top five, and all of a sudden their crap will just start falling apart inside the car, then they'll just have to turn it in for the night, dumbasses.
That's just Bubba getting called in, Russ. You know, somebody pushing play on our podcast. Are you related to this man? He's trashing our company.
I don't care. I trashed him last night on Twitter. I don't care. That's a useless whatever. He was running top 10 and top 15 the last 2 weeks, the last two races in a row, and then all of a sudden the brake hubs fall apart inside of his car. The same damn thing happened two races in a row. And it's because they might as well go to the Salvation.
You got a bad batch, Trey. Parts with their you got a bad batch of hubs, man.
I'm sorry, I missed bad this. What happened to Bubba last night?
Pretty much his brakes went out for the second straight week in a row.
How does that happen? This is NASCAR. How do
How
your
does
brakes
that
go
happen?
Out?
Because they probably got a bad batch.
A bad batch? They're brakes, not cookies. Well, how do you get a bad batch of brakes? This is NASCAR. Like, it's kind of important that the brakes work.
Okay, I realize that you have no understanding of what goes on underneath the hood of a car, Russell, much less a professional racing team. You do realize that they put together, you know, multiple different race cars come out of a shop. When they buy parts from the suppliers, they buy them in batches.
Yeah, when a couple of Honda Accords roll off the assembly line, wherever they come off, they all have brakes and they all work. And those things aren't going 100 miles an hour.
A Honda Accord is not going from 200.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, driving at 200 miles an hour. I mean, the brakes on these things cost $15,000 a piece.
Yeah, you think they get it right.
I mean, things go wrong. You know, they might have gotten, you know, in the batch of, there might be a spring on them somewhere. And they might have gotten a bad batch of springs from the factory.
He says, I'm going to pit. Y'all can't afford to give me some good brakes. Might as well not ruin this race car.
I'm with Bubba. Y'all get your stuff straight. Your stuff
you go
straight.
With the king like that, Russ.
I'm out here driving 100 miles an hour, risking my neck. Y'all can't put me in some decent brakes?
200 miles an hour, Russell.
The hell?
It was just aggravating. It was just aggravating because he's done so good. He was running top 10 all last night.
That's got to be a sobering feeling, racing your NASCAR 200 miles an hour in a circle with 42 other vultures out there on the track, and all of a sudden you realize your brakes aren't working.
I would say it's it would make the seat of your pants clench up. So
yeah, I'll be into pit boys. I need a new set of brakes and a new set of pants.
Same thing happened to him at Pocono last year. He lost his brakes going 200 miles an hour out of turn four, and he just ran straight into the wall because he couldn't brake.
I thought it was scary.
Hey, it was a fun race last night. Elliott won. That's good. Good for Chase Elliott. Anytime Kyle Busch is pissed off is a good night for me. So I'll take it.
Brent wants to know if we have any, hot 5-star recruiting action for the weekend. Big Germ going to get another commit anytime soon, Trey?
I don't think he gets a commit this weekend. No.
Well,
what's wrong? Russ is like ungrateful all of a sudden. He thinks that Big Germ's gotten lazy because there's been no 5-star commitment this week, Trey.
You know, he spoke last night. He was supposed to be down in Mobile last night speaking at a college football preview alongside Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, and Mike Leach. But they had to do it virtually for the COVID. And he told a story last night, man. I watched it. He staked out. Nick Saban told him to go down to Mobile and stake out A.J. McCarron's house because he thought Lane Kiffin was trying to come in at the last second and take A.J. McCarron. So Jeremy Pruitt was young. He was just quality control. He's sitting down there in Mobile, staking out for the whole week. For 5 days, he staked out the house. It turns out he was actually staking out the wrong house for 5 days.
Oh, my God.
A.J.'s house was 4 houses down. And, yeah, Kiffin did try to make a run at A.J. towards the end of that recruitment.
Well, hold on. What did Saban want him to do?
He wanted him to watch and see if Lane was coming into his house.
And just let him know?
Yep, let him know. Because McElwain was flying in that week. I remember this story. McElwain was flying in that week to give the final pitch to A.J. to kind of wrap everything up and have it done with. And he sent Jeremy down there just to stake out his house.
Who you taking in a fight, guys, between Pruitt and Lane Train?
I don't know. It's a good question. I feel like – I was about to say that Kiffin looks more athletic and in better shape, but Kiffin was a quarterback who probably only got on the team because of his dad. Pruitt, his dad was a high school coach, but, like, he wasn't Monty Kiffin. You know, he had to earn everything, and he played at MTSU, and he played in the SEC. So he's probably – as a defensive back. So he's probably more athletic.
Yeah.
And bigger.
I feel like he has that Southern man strength compared to Kiffin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he'd hit him with an axe handle or something.
I think he'd just grab him by the neck, wring his neck. Club him over the head with those big paws.
How strange is Nick Saban that he had some quality control guy staking out McCarron's house?
So he just sat there in his car.
Yes.
And didn't move.
And watched.
And he wasn't even at the right house.
Right. He was trying to see who was coming in and out of the house. If any other coaches were coming in and out of the house, and one of them that they were looking out for was Lane Kiffin, because they had heard that he was going to go after A.J. and try to steal him right there towards the end. And it turned out, I don't know how he found out that he was at the wrong house, but it turns out that he was actually like 4 doors down from where he should have been.
That's not a good sign. I know it was 10 years ago. Hopefully he's matured since then, but. How can you expect to beat Florida if you can't even find the right house on a map? Ain't you got no GPS?
So Russ, I mean, what's Pruitt say to Lane in a confrontation in a driveway like that?
That was the part I didn't understand. Like, I didn't know what Saban wanted him to do. But I guess what Trey is saying, it was just a reconnaissance mission. Like, if he saw Lane Kiffin, he calls him just so Saban knows exactly what he's up against. Not like he's going to go in there and, like, ask him not to go or fight him, trying to prevent him from going in. They just wanted to know exactly when Kiffin got there and then when he left so that they could call immediately and try and undo whatever work Kiffin would have done.
He had to give him a nightly report, is what he said in his story last night.
A nightly report.
Yes, of who went in and who went out of the house.
Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall with Kiffin recruiting McCarron's mom?
Well, actually, it had been McCarron's grandmother. AJ McCarron went to school with my little brother, so I followed his recruitment a lot. And at the time, he was staying, you know, with his grandmother. But yeah, it was it was some crazy times. AJ was flirting with Tennessee.
I remember that. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Wait, was Kiffin recruiting him for Tennessee?
Well, at first he wasn't.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. Well, he came in there and he tried to steal him at the last second, and that's when Saban found out, because somebody in the McCarron household told Saban that Kiffin had been calling and he planned on coming down there to see AJ that week. So Saban told Pruitt, get in the car, go down to Mobile, stake out his house, tell me nightly who comes in and out of that house.
Boy, you got to really want to be a coach to sit in your car outside some kid's house. You don't even know who the kid is, and you've gone to the wrong house anyway for 5 days.
It'd be funny if you just got out of the car, just propped up one of those little folding chairs outside and just sat there the whole time.
Not to look conspicuous or anything.
Can I help you, officer? I'm doing my job.
I guess it doesn't matter. Saving. Yeah, yes, officer, I'd like to report a strange bald man sitting outside my house. He's been in this car for 4 days now, just staring awkwardly.
Well, shucks, I'm at the wrong house. Damn.
He said something about high school football and asparagus. That's all I know. Cornbread. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Coming up, Peter Burns, ESPN, going to join the festivities. You're listening to The Drive. More Fan Run coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Barrett, Trey back with you. Pleased to be joined now by Peter Burns of ESPN. Good afternoon, Peter. How are you, sir?
You can hear E-I-E-I-E-O going in the background. So I've got the kiddos at least somewhat in the quarantine television life right now. So we're making it.
Oh, nice. I had a Cars marathon at my house earlier today, so...
It's again, Lynn, I've probably over and under of times I've seen Frozen and Frozen 2 in the past probably 2.5 months might be like, if I said the over and under, probably 55.
That might be on the low end for some parents out there. But Peter, we appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Is the SEC Network breathing a sigh of relief now that it appears that college football season is all systems go?
Yeah, I mean, at least for now, right? I mean, you know, I think we're kind of waiting to see, you know, hey, when were student athletes going to be allowed to be back on campus? But, you know, I think everybody, not just SEC Network, but I think college football fans as well, too, are just kind of holding their breath to be like, all right, so let's, you know, we don't really know anything yet, right? Like, it wasn't, hey, you know, we have at least a plan for these kids to get back, but what's it going to look like when, you know, you get up to Knoxville, when you get to Starkville, when you get to even Austin, Texas, and places all across the landscape, that's really is when we can have a sigh of relief going, all right, kids are back. They've been, you know, conditioning for 2 weeks. This whole kind of distancing thing is going good. I think then we'll have a whole lot more of a, at least a little bit more relaxation than we are right now.
What are the conversations? I know you're on-air talent. I don't know how much you...
Yeah, I'm merely the guy that reads the teleprompter and wears the makeup. You know, I'm not anybody important over there. You guys know that already.
No, you are, man. You're the star of the show. My question is, what are the conversations? We all want to see fans in the stands. Obviously, that adds to the atmosphere. But if they're not, they got to watch on TV. I'd imagine if you're a ad salesman, that is not necessarily the worst thing in the world.
Not the worst thing, but again, you know, I mean, like when you start thinking about, like, think about how the behemoth that is Tennessee football, right? I mean, you're going to have over 1 million people that have watched sometimes, depending on what network, if it's the primetime game on CBS or even if it's our night game, you know, you're going to have a bunch of people watch. So the idea on whether or not there's going to be 40,000 people in the stands versus 100,000, you know, that 60,000 is not going to make or break. But I do think that there's more of, an appetite than we've ever had. I think, you know, listen, you get spoiled, right? If you eat filet mignon every dinner, you're thinking, all right, well, okay, we're going to have filet mignon once again. It's great, but then you get used to it. And now we've been starving for anything. So, you know, I think some of these smaller games that we used to take for granted, we're like, hell, man, just give me any kind of football. I mean, I'm watching Coach Duggs go crazy right now and having fun, and I'm like, at least that gets my heart beating right now, and that's what we need. But, yeah, I think what you'll end up having, and I haven't had these conversations with the SEC. I don't know that to be the case, but I think for everyone, they'll look at it and going, what's the most amount of people that we can have that we're going to feel comfortable? And I think there's going to be some sacrifices ultimately that are probably made saying, hey, listen, if you're coming to the stadium, all we're going to ask you, bring a mask, you know, wear a mask, and we can get more people in here. Because I think if it gets to the point where all of a sudden, hey, people show up and they're not taking the mask thing seriously, all of a sudden you're like, well, now maybe we can't have as many fans. So I'm hoping that changes by the time we're in September and we're ripping and going, but I'm just being, you know, I'm trying to be cautious right now so we don't screw anything up and actually have a full college football season.
Sure. Peter Burns, ESPN, with us this afternoon on The Drive. And I guess the other side of that conversation, Peter, is if the NBA bleeds over out, I guess it probably wouldn't bleed over into September, but you never know, and sure, baseball is going to be starting later. That could be more options for football to compete with on television.
Yeah, but you guys know. I mean, here in the South, what's the NBA? What's Major League Baseball? I mean, it's going to be SEC football and just football in general that's going to end up winning. It always traditionally has. You know, and outside of that, I mean, I think that's why Major League Baseball is under a real kind of constraint right now. They got to figure this thing out with between the Players Association and the owners because, you know, A, they need to play baseball. But then again, if they, you know, mess around and all of a sudden they're trying to compete with a Saturday, you know, that college football is on, the Sunday that the NFL is on, and Thursday that the NFL is on, you know, the numbers have been kind of dwindling for Major League Baseball unless you're in one of those respective, you know, cities that have a team. It ain't going to look pretty if they're going to try to go up against it. Hell, I want the NBA to start on Christmas Day starting, you know, now. I mean, that's the way it should always be and not compete with football.
Hey, Peter, it's Trey Wallace, and I appreciate you joining us, buddy. And I wanted to ask you about when it comes to teams in the Southeastern Conference that have an advantage over others when it comes to experience. You know, you're talking about, look at Tennessee. You know, you have a quarterback, okay, he's experienced. Maybe he's not the fans' favorite in the world, but at least he can get out there and try to get the job done and defense and offensive side. Then you look at some other teams in the SEC who – you know, they're going to try to be breaking in new quarterbacks or maybe guys who didn't get to play much last year. Where do you look at it when it comes to a conference? Who takes advantage of this situation of not having the spring football? Florida? I mean, what's your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question because that's on paper, it seems like Georgia, just in the recruiting classes that they've had, how damn good that defense is going to be. I think they bring back like 8 starters or something like that. They're going to be solid. The problem is that not having that spring hurts because you got Jamie, you know, you got the kid Jamie Newman coming in from Wake Forest, and you got Todd Monken, the new offensive coordinator. They haven't had a spring. I looked at it and said, all right, that should even the playing field just a touch more simply because, I mean, go back and look at LSU, guys. LSU won the national championship last year in the spring. They installed this brand-new offense. They had all of the spring to work on it. And by the time fall practice came, they were ripping ready to go. And Georgia doesn't have that. That's why I think that they're a little bit more susceptible this year, even though I think their talent is better than Florida and Tennessee right now. I don't think that they have the same amount of continuity. I still like Florida because there wasn't a lot of change in their coaching staff, and you're still bringing Kyle Trask, who feels like he's a 15-year senior in Gainesville.
When you look at it overall, the quarterback situation in the SEC, and you just talked about Kyle Trask, and I agree. I want to see what he brings to the table this year. But is there something else you're looking at the position? I mean, a Mac Jones, you know, is that something where, okay, if he doesn't have a good third 2 or 3 games – maybe they go to somebody like Bryce Young? Or is it like a weird story like Felipe Franks at Arkansas? What intrigues you at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I mean, the one actually is who replaces down at LSU, and who replaces Joe Burrow is a kid named Miles Brennan, who no one's really talked about him. You know, we had Gene Chizik on the show a couple of days ago, and he gave us our top five quarterbacks. Brennan wasn't a part of the list. But, I mean, the offense is going to stay pretty much the same. You know, they still have the same offensive coordinator, Steve Ensminger. They still got Jamar Chase. They still got Terrence Marshall. They still have a bunch of athletes there over at LSU. And so I don't think a lot of people are giving Miles Brennan enough credit right now. But, again, I still think it's the guys that have been there before. Trask, you know, Garantano. And then you still also look at Kellen Mond at A&M. I think to be that's a pretty intriguing situation there. I mean, A&M's had such a hard schedule the last couple of years, but they're bringing back, I think they played 19 true freshmen, and I think they're bringing back 17 starters off a team that was at least above average last year. I think, guys, this is going to be the most wide open the SEC has been in the last two decades, and that's great.
Peter, last question for me, and I'm just going to ask you a blunt question. Can Jared Garantano, in your eyes, in everything he did last six games of the season in the bowl game, can he get Tennessee to 9 wins next year?
Yeah, why the hell not? I mean, there's enough of it to where when you see guys that can get better, and now he's got another opportunity with Chaney and learning that offense, and now I think the offensive line, you know, is going to be a little bit better for him as well, too. So for me, I look at it and go, why not? There's definitely enough momentum. There's definitely enough talent. And I think that's the one thing that's led to Pruitt being solid. And I've heard this from three or four high school coaches that have players that go to the SEC. They said they feel like Pruitt can develop players. And so while he's not, you know, Jared's, you know, quarterback coach per se, they feel like the whole team has gotten better. So, I mean, I think that's the number for Tennessee. I think it's a 9-win season next year, and I think that's where you want to be. You'd like to have an upset here and there, but you just got to make sure that you can continue to keep this momentum. And what is it? Is it week 2 in Oklahoma? I can't remember the schedule.
Yep, yes. Week 2 in Norman. Yep.
Beat that ass.
Wow.
I mean, just do it. You
Peter,
know what I mean?
Your, listen, your language. This is family radio.
I know. You know what? I'm quarantined too much around here at the family. But would that be, you know, you've got Lincoln Riley. They, you know, Spencer Rattler, I'm sure, is going to be their quarterback. But, I mean, listen, I think if Pruitt can show something like that and show promise, can you imagine what a win would do that for that program that already has the momentum coming in on week 2? God, I'd love to see it.
Peter Burns, ESPN. Peter, just looking at your Twitter feed from the week, and I guess going back to the weekend, you were thoroughly entertained, as most of us were, by the golf match over the weekend. Who else do you want to see participate in the third edition of the match?
Well, I mean, Peyton's got to be in it every single year. I mean, Peyton was so good. He's a pretty good steak, but just the fact of it, enough trash talking. I mean, seriously, when Brady almost stepped on Smokey, like, that there was going to be some problems. There were going to be riots had that actually happened. I'd like to see Jordan and Barkley. I think that's a natural other two. I think there needs to be two groups total. And so give me Jordan and Barkley as kind of the celebrities, and then give me like two good trash-talking tour pros. You know, I can take even Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas can talk smack with the best of them. But as long as Jordan and Barkley are in there, can you imagine the gambling that would be done?
Oh. Well, they're not on speaking terms anymore, so there'd have to be more so. Yeah.
You know, and we can have Isaiah Thomas drive the golf cart around. Like, it'll be fantastic.
Hey, it's all fun and games until Chuck says the wrong thing on the 15th. Michael, we were having a good time, then it became personal.
Oh, hey, trust me. Well, it's always personal with Jordan. I mean, again, the epic amounts of – I live here in Charlotte, so the epic amount of times that I've heard people saying, you know, Jordan likes to put a dollar or two on the golf course is out of control out here.
Oh, yeah, can only imagine. Peter, appreciate it. Have a great weekend, my man. Thanks for jumping on.
Later, boys.
Peter Burns, ESPN. You follow him on Twitter. I believe it's at Peter Burns. Is that correct, Trey, or is there an underscore or something in there somewhere? Peter Burns, ESPN. There you go.
Yep. Great guest. Always brings it. I love Peter.
Fabulous. As we cruise through.
He's got a hot motor, Russ.
Your Friday afternoon. Bear, what did you learn?
You got me fired up. Peter Burns, high motor, friend of the drive.
Yeah. It is good to
I liked his attitude.
I always wonder, obviously, you know, Peyton Manning is, you know, our favorite. He's probably my favorite athlete of all time. And so I obviously view him through orange-colored glasses, but it is reassuring when you hear other people's like, no, he really is entertaining. And it's not just – like, he's good for that. Tiger, not very good. He's kind of corny with his drop-ins and everything. I think it would be good to have – you have Phil and Peyton on a team, and then you find two other good talkers on there. I guess you have to have Tiger in there, right? People tune in.
The problem with Tiger, though, is that he didn't have his earpiece in for a lot of the match. So he purposely left his earpiece out. He wasn't listening to them back in the studio when they were calling it.
No, because he's Tiger. He wanted to win.
Yeah, he's got that Jordan thing. It can't be it can't just be fun. He's played Phil Mickelson, who he just despises, so he's got to grind his – I mean, Tiger, if they had blown that and those guys had come back and won, Tiger Woods – would still be in a frothing fury today. Just raging out. Like Bear in a crowded grocery store.
You didn't get me down today, Russ. I've had a great day. Had a great lunch. Feeling good, buddy.
I bet I could get you all riled up if I really leaned into it. We got an hour.
Leaned into it.
I mean, that's it. Peter Burns and Barrett Salee. I mean, we don't have anything else scheduled. I could just try and piss you off for the rest of the show. I'm petty. I'm here for it.
90 mile per hour fastball in your ear hole. Lean into it. Yeah, lean into that.
Let's get, tell you what, let's get our break and then we'll come back and give the mayor, he's been waiting patiently. I'm sure he wants to talk some Tennessee basketball. We'll do that when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You want to get in with us. Let's get Phil in here next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on The Drive.
Good night. What was that?
What do you mean?
I'm sorry. Good night.
You got a weird noise in your ear?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's pretty weird. But
I'll work through this with you, Philly. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We got off. It's Friday. That's all that matters, isn't it?
Is it 5 o'clock somewhere this afternoon?
Yeah. You know how you saying? And Bear and Trey doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Thanks. Well,
good. I try to behave today. I called three and out and try to behave with them. So I'm gonna try to behave with y'all today. Only had one beer.
That's good. The night's young, right, Phil?
Yeah, there you go. Guys, this Kennedy Chandler thing is kind of interesting, isn't it? I heard y'all, your theory was a trade that said that he's leaving because he don't want to go to Memphis. Memphis pressure of the Memphis Tiger High bunks down there.
That was my theory.
That was your theory?
Yes.
What was Trey's theory?
Trey, what was your theory?
He's going to go to Kansas. What did
Trey? Kansas not even recruiting, Martin.
I think he was joking.
That was a joke.
I really think that Tennessee does leave for him, Craig. I really do. Right now, there's a lot of things can happen, but Duke recruits 5 stars every year at the point guard position, and he'll get recruited over. If he goes to Duke, he'll be sitting on the bench at Duke.
Yeah, I don't know who else they have. All I know, Phil, is I follow former friend of I say former he's still friend friend of the show Rob Lewis over at VolQuest, who is usually pretty conservative as far as like making projections on where kids are going to go, and he's been saying for a month or two now that, you know, Tennessee's in a, not in the lead, but in a good spot and maybe in the lead.
And I do agree with whoever called in and was talking, or the Bear said that I mean, Briarcrest losing their whole team outside of him, and why you won't hang around there? I mean, it won't be any good unless they do a great job of recruiting the city of Memphis.
I don't know enough. I mean, I'm no Memphis high school basketball expert, but it seems to me, Phil, that college/high school basketball, that recruiting game, it's just gotten to where anymore, if you stay, you just don't see guys go to a high school for 4 years and then go to college. You go to a high school for 1 year and then you switch and you do 2 years one place and then you go and do your senior year somewhere else, or maybe you go to a prep school for a year. I mean, guys transfer in the middle of the season too. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, look at the football now. You got all these grad transfers, and you got them just wanting to transfer. And, you know, like that cat from it's going to go to Georgia from USA. I mean, it's a new world, isn't it?
It's not like the good old days, Phil. Simpler times. I miss them.
No, but we're going to have to, you know, get up to the table and do it to ourselves.
Sure.
We have, of the transfers we got coming in, Cade Mays, we know the reason why he's transferring here. But the Vilas Jones, the receiver from Southern Cal, that's a transfer. And then who's the other transfer they got? Some guy from Nebraska. But he's a walk-on, isn't he?
Oh, what's that kid's name? Trey Miles something?
Yeah, he's a walk-on.
Are you talking about Kasim Hill from
– No, no. We took a transfer. He's a small kid, but he can run from – Nebraska, but like Phil's saying, he's walking on, so I don't know what kind of impact we're expecting there.
I'm wondering when this Jeremy Banks stuff's going to come up again. It's about time for him to be readmitted back to the team, and in all honesty, I think he served his time. It's time to let him back. I want to win, and we need the linebackers bad.
Yep.
And let's get him on there. And what about Aaron Hayden's son? Can he come in there now as a transfer?
East Carolina. He's at East Carolina.
He's going to East Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chase transferred there.
Well, but he's got a younger brother that's Tennessee's involved with heavily, right?
Dallin Hayden, yeah.
And I saw where Aaron Hayden has a nephew, I believe, in Detroit who is
– Really?
Yeah, he's like a sophomore or a junior and is one of the top – I want to say he's a linebacker prospect, one of the top prospects.
Bring me all the Detroit Hayden.
A five-star kid, yeah.
Let me get another one. Carlos Groves has a son at Cross Plains, Tennessee.
No,
that's where he's from.
Oh, bring me Carlos Groves' offspring. That is awesome.
He's got a son that's one of the top five players in the state of Tennessee for 2022. He's got offers in football and basketball by SEC schools, and Tennessee's offering him football. So –
For you youngins out there, story time on the drive. Phil, you remember it well. Tennessee playing LSU down in Baton Rouge. And Carlos Groves is about 6'7", 235, just a bulldog, mean as a junkyard dog on the court. And he grabs Shaquille O'Neal by the waist and basically tackles him in the paint. Bench is clear. Guys are running out. And Dale Brown – runs LSU's loudmouth coach, runs out like he's going to attack Carlos, like he's going to do something. And Carlos Groves turns around like he's about to go Kermit Washington, and Dale Brown is Rudy Tomjanovich. He's about to end this guy, and he sees who it is at the last minute, and he like kind of just backs off, and they pulled him off of him. But, Carlos Groves almost killed a sitting SEC basketball coach on the court 30 years ago.
Are y'all going to play any more Blue Oyster Cult? That song about reefer is one I like. Let's see.
Which one's about reefer? Go, go, Godzilla?
They all kind of are.
They all kind of, yeah. Blue Oyster Cult's pretty good dope smoking music, don't you think, Bear?
It's up there with Stranglehold.
Stranglehold by Ted Nugent?
Yeah.
It's a dope smoking one?
Huh?
You smoke the.
Have you seen Dazed and Confused?
Okay. Here's a little bit of a cold take for you. Didn't really care
no,
for it.
No, don't do it.
Didn't
don't
really care it. For it.
You're an idiot. It's one of the greatest movies ever. Reminds me of my childhood. I was a little kid when those guys would have been in high school. I was like the teens that used to hang out in the teen corner. I was a little kid out in the swimming pool.
I've missed being in studio so I could do unprofessional crap like this and play my phone. directly into the microphone like an idiot.
Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah. Does it sound okay? Can you hear it?
No, I mean, it's
rough.
It sounds like us when we're being idiots in the studio. I like the song, though.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that back in the day would have earned me a stern talking to from the general manager. Russell, did you play music from the iTunes store?
I'm going to have that conversation with you.
Huh?
I mean, who at our station is
going to
have
that's why I could do it. Nobody.
You know? I mean, Nate's like the den mother. You know, we can't do anything wrong. Lord, I spilled a 70-ounce Coca-Cola all over the production room.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks after I started the station.
Didn't you also get caught?
I think he's pissed.
Didn't you also get caught vandalizing the audio board?
Damn.
No, I did not.
Okay, you didn't get caught. You admitted to it after Nate was like, hey, who vandalized the audio board? Bear's like, sorry.
It wasn't. Can you tell that anything was on there? No. No. You know. Do you want me to bring up some of your greatest hits, Russ?
I mean, if I put my record up against yours, I feel pretty good.
I mean, until you think about the fact that you vouched for me and are ultimately responsible for me.
I worry about that.
You really
want
me to go there? You gonna push me?
I worry about it every day.
Are we telling all the secrets now? Aren't you gonna open everything up to the sunlight? Let the chips fall where they may, my friend. Some of my boneheaded mistakes weren't where I wasn't by myself, my man.
I could never fire Bear because he knows too much. He knows where the bodies are buried.
Trey?
Yeah.
Like Coach Fulmer, I know where all the bodies are buried on the drive.
That's a good point.
Can't fire you. I'd have to kill you.
I'm just excited to see you in person. I'm going to give you a nice big old hug here in about a week.
No, you're not. We're still practicing social distancing. I'll be able to give your dentist a big hug if you come up. I don't hug. I don't even hug my brothers. They're my brother, dude.
It's
your kid.
You know, if it was, do you hug your mom?
Not since she dropped that bomb on me last week.
Mama Bear hasn't gotten a hug from her cub in weeks?
Not since I told her that we were having Mayor Jacobs on the show and what her response was.
She's not a fan of Mayor Kane?
No, she said, please don't embarrass Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Please don't embarrass Russell. Have you seen Russell Smith? You did a pretty damn good job of that on your own, Russ.
You see where somebody tried to, they just ran straight into the pals today? I just sent you all the picture.
Oh! I mean, I think their food's overrated, but I don't think we deserve like people driving their pickup trucks right into the side of pals. Bear,
I got an unknown regular listener and caller to the drive, Russ, to admit to me in private that pals, they're from the try, that pals is overrated.
So way overrated.
I'm not going to shame him on air, but they basically said it was just all right drive-in food.
It's
like me and you have contended for years.
It's all right drive-through food with the friendly service of a Chick-fil-A, which is not nothing, but it doesn't mean that the food is better than it actually is.
No. Dude, Chick-fil-A drive-through workers, if you asked them to, they'd go somewhere else and get you something.
You should try that. That's good, Trey. You should try it. Is that all for you today? It's my pleasure serving you, Mr. Wallace. Actually, I changed my mind. I want a Big Mac. You go to McDonald's for? Oh yeah, we'll be right back. You just wait here. Stay with us.
We got to go.
We're done. Hold on, Bear. Hold that thought. Hour number 3 of the drive coming up.